What's up, guys? It is Sunday, July 19th, about 9:15 at night as we record the quarantine podcast. I'm Chris Williams, joined as always by Brent Bloom. You might hear Dirks the dog rolling around in the background. Dirks has been at the...
He's happy to see you.
Yeah, he's been at the doggy daycare for about a week, and he is fired up to be back home. I'm fired up to be back home. I had a great vacation. It was awesome to be with my family, my mom and dad and my sister and her kids. But Brent, taking two children under the age of five anywhere is a giant pain in the ass.
What? I am commiserating with you.
Am I wrong?
No. What was the worst part? Was it the drive? Because that's a long drive.
Drive wasn't bad.
Okay. Did we nap?
The way down... We split it up. I stayed the night in Kansas City. We had a birthday party down in southern Iowa for my nephew Mason.
Okay. Well done.
So we split it up, and it was simple. And the way back, a little bit of a unique, but this is true Williams form. Left Osage Beach at 8 o'clock at night, right when the kids were falling asleep, and I drove through the night, rolled in here around 1 o'clock in the morning.
I was wondering... Because you said you were home today, and I was like,
"Yeah,
I swear I just saw pictures."
Got home at 1. So wow. We had a full day yesterday on the lake, and then I bought a bunch of Red Bull and drove home.
Any issues, or was it pretty smooth sailing?
No, actually, the kids fell asleep, and we didn't stop one
That's
time.
That's a really good idea.
Rolled all the way through, and it was a little tired today, but...
I had a three-hour trip, so not even near the...
Yeah.
Back to the in-laws or fourth, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, we went left at 5, and the whole time, it's just like,
just
I can't get there soon enough. And everyone was awake, and then one wakes the other one up. Anyway,
I'm exponentially more tired now than before the trip, because the baby wouldn't sleep.
Were you in the same room?
Yes, all in the same room. I have a brief analysis, because I'm more... I would like feedback from our audience on this. At Chris M. Williams on Twitter, Chris M. Williams at PsychOneFanatic.com if you want to email me. I really want your feedback here. Because my daughters have been isolated pretty much all summer, or since March, right?
Yeah.
Their daycare shut down.
Okay.
We have not had daycare to take them to, thank God. One starts back up in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Right before school. And I truly, and I'm not making 5-year-olds act like 5-year-olds. I get it. My kid was so jacked up to be somewhere other than this house.
Yeah.
And she is a, daughter.
She's pretty calm.
She is. And she's like, but 5-year-olds are 5-year-olds. They all have their moments. I get it. She was a whole other level, and I think those school teachers and daycares that are opening back up this fall, God bless your souls. I do think that this is one of those deals that we look back on COVID, and clearly it's real. We're seeing, I'm not making a commentary here. Please don't take it that way. I think that this is one of those effects that we're going to look back on after all this and be like, holy crap. Like my guess, I would love to know, like, if there's other parents out there who have done this and like gotten their kids out of the house for the first time in 4 months and they lose their minds because there's just so much stimulation when they're just used to being locked up.
Yeah. And I don't have great perspective. I've got a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old, and they started daycare a month ago. I think probably expended a little more energy at daycare, but not as aware of what was happening.
Yeah.
Like my 2-year-old got really used to being at home and was, did not like going to daycare at first because it was different, but he still doesn't understand what's going on here. But I think when you get to, 4 or 5 and up, that's a major factor. Yeah. I mean, I think
Cammy gets it now. Like she actually is more mature about the mask thing than a lot of like adults. Like she knows, like, I think it probably expedited it that I got it. you know, and that there was a lot of talk and stuff like that. But she's totally aware. Like, we're already talking about when you go back to school, you're going to have to wear a mask, like explaining it to her. Yeah. She's totally fine with it. But I don't know, man. Like, it was, and again, like, 5-year-olds have moments. Like, I understand that. And I'm not making an excuse. Like, I'll fall on the sword here. I'm her dad, and like, I need to discipline her and teach her the way. That there's something to a kid being locked up for that long. She's been outside swimming and playing at the in her playground. She hasn't been locked in a dungeon since March. But not having that social interaction with other kids.
And I think that's a major part of this, where this discussion of, you know, opening schools or not is just such a huge one.
Yeah.
And you touched on something where, you know, educators and daycare providers are unfortunately kind of in the crosshairs here, where they almost have to be the decision makers and the ones really at risk in a way.
Yeah. It's like a new front line.
Yeah, it is.
in a way.
You know, and we're set up for, at the other end of it, like, I don't know how we can keep being effective as a society as a whole and have kids continue to, you know, progress and matriculate and all those good things without schooling. So it's a really tough, I mean, this is, and everyone's kind of passing the buck where, you know, you have one side saying, "Oh, well, the schools need to be open, but they're not the ones that have to worry about it on a day-to-day basis." So it's a huge, huge mess. And you're seeing it district by district. Although the governor of Iowa stepped in Friday and said all these, and I don't know, I don't think there's a correct answer, but I don't think there's an easy one either.
No, I'm like, with you.
I see all this where I thought for sure, like, it's been hugely helpful for me from a work standpoint to have my kids at daycare. Like, it's night and day. It really is.
Oh God, yes.
And if we were to continue, I don't know how my wife and I could both work and have the kids at home. Like, at some point we would have to make the decision, okay, one of us is going to have to, you know, take a leave or stop working, because you just can't. And if you do that towards X amount of people in the population, that has a major effect on society. But at the same time, do we just say, "Well, sorry, educators, it's your problem now, you know, figure it out"? And Chris, it's really bothered me for this whole thing is that you haven't seen a whole lot of data from those daycares that have been open throughout this whole thing, because there have been for the frontline workers, and now you're seeing some other countries that have schools open. You just haven't seen a whole lot of data. Can kids transmit to kids, and can kids transmit to adults? And maybe, but you just haven't seen a whole lot of it. And so I think you're kind of leaving these districts and these decision makers out to make a decision where they don't really have a whole lot of baseline info.
Well, I'm going to play both sides here. Like, the parent in me is, I kind of think my kid needs to go to school. I think I'm at that point where, like, with all I know, and I'm not an epidemiologist, all that stuff, like, I just, with my kid and her mental health,
yes,
I think she needs to get back to some structure and all that. Having said that, being a guy who's still recovering from COVID, every day I'm still maybe 70%.
Yeah.
I've had this thing for a month. Now I'm negative, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, but long lasting effects for some people.
My concern on this whole deal, and hopefully it turns out to be nothing, but Brent, I can't take deep breaths.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we were down at the lake, and I mean, there was one day where I walked up a couple flights of steps, and it was just, and I almost passed out. Mm. Like, this morning I just vomited out of nowhere. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm functioning. I mowed my yard today.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not, like, I am concerned though. Just like, why is this still doing this to me?
Sure.
I have good doctors, you know, pretty good idea of what's going on with the inflammation in my chest and all this stuff. I'm not dying, but so that's the part of me though, that, like, I want my kid to go back to school, but totally. I also, like, if a you know, if somebody with, you know, I'm healthy, if somebody with a pre-existing condition or something like that got it the way I did, they could have died. Like, I bounced that back from it and I'm fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I know.
That's the part of me that's still, I know I'm riding the fence here.
Yeah, no, man, but and where's the line and for how long?
Yeah.
I mean, and it comes back to, you know, on a different level, but a level, and we're going to get into it, is the whole college football thing.
Yeah.
It's the same conversation.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about that.
But it is, it's like, you know, how long do we keep punting, for lack of a better term, until, oh, okay, just give it a few more months until we get this vaccine, or until we do this, then we can get back to normal. Well, we think there's progress in the vaccine, and I've been optimistic reading the last week or two that we're making progress there.
It sounds like Monday we're going to get more on the
Oxford one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great, because as you know...
One company's never successfully put out a vaccine, though, the one that we're putting all of our eggs in the basket. Yeah,
there's several candidates, which is good, but also... Vaccines aren't, you know, 100% either.
No,
so, I mean, how long? But
coronaviruses are constantly mutating too. So,
yep,
that's the one thing I'm getting a little bit frustrated. And my wife's a scientist, so it's like I'm a little sensitive to the scientists here. But they're like, oh, well, you're changing your recommendations every month. Well, we're learning more too, right? And that's the thing. Like this virus is mutating, and it, you know, it's doing all this, and hopefully it mutates so it kind of sucks here in a couple months, right? And it's not as dangerous and all that.
But I think that if you just keep locking people in until, you know, cases go away.
Yeah, I don't think that's
the option.
I just
don't know if you can do that, because you just destroy everything else in the wake.
Yeah.
Lives, so it's just really businesses. Hard. Yeah, it's just really hard. Like, I don't know, when we talked about it right away, and this is month four of the quarantine podcast, so it's month four / year 40. You know, what we talked
about, sponsorless.
What is that threshold? What is that threshold where you can get from? A lot has happened these last 4 months, dude. A lot has happened, but it's just we haven't made any progress on what's that magic threshold to get back to normalcy. And now we're up against it in the fall where you're just running out of time.
Okay. Well, that's a really good lead in the fact that we are still sponsorless, even though we're pulling crazy numbers every week. That shows how dead the advertising world is. But the only reason we're here is because of our Patreon members and our Psych 1 Fanatic premium subscribers they're going to get a real goodie, the super duper patrons on Wednesday night. This is the folks who give us $20 or more per month via Patreon and the Psych 1 Fanatic premium aspect of the message board. Greg Brabenek, a.k.a. Skip, from the Iowa State football program.
Yeah.
He is the director of football operations, and he will join us for our monthly Zoom town hall, the exclusive Zoom town hall for those subscribers. This is a good one. Very well-timed. I'm really glad that Skip's going to give us a half hour or so to basically, Brent, give our subscribers an inside look at Iowa State football, how the, I don't know, bubble works or whatever we want to call it.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that they are working through right now. Oh, your show's all over, sweetie? Okay. Is mommy still putting Elise to bed?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I'll do. Daddy will pause his podcast right now, and I'll come and restart a show for you, okay?
What's the show?
What? Here, tell Uncle Brent what show you're watching.
It's My Little Pony.
Oh.
Who's your favorite My Little Pony?
I usually like Rainbow Dash.
It's a good choice.
She's a beaut. One second, honey, and I'll be right back up there, okay? But Greg Brabenek, a.k.a. Skip Blue.
Probably not a My Little Pony fan.
What now?
Can I go back up?
Yeah, you go back up. I'll be up there in a minute. Again, and I'm not editing it out because this is our lives right now. This is the quarantine podcast.
Gotta love it.
Skip's gonna give us because the guys are back.
Yeah, I was up there this week and felt kind of normal.
Really?
Well, I mean, no, normal. Just seeing the players are up, but very not normal. I was checking on some things in the press box this weekend, and everyone has masks. Players did, even outside. I mean, they they are really doing. It's not just like, okay, we're going to talk about it and we're not going to. You had these players were walking to and from outside, all masked up. So it was like surreal, but they're trying.
I'll say this, and I'm not being a butt kisser. Pollard has taken this. Like I think like when this book is written, there's going to be a lot of guys who will stand out as like leaders in it. I think Lincoln Riley has been on the coaching standpoint.
Interesting.
Nationally.
Yeah.
I think Pollard will be one of the top five administrators in the country who really has set a tone during this whole thing.
Agreed. And that's why I'm more optimistic this week than I was last week about the season happening. And you go figure out My Little Pony.
Okay. We'll be back. I'm going to go get My Little Pony on for Cameron. We're going to be back right after these messages, and we're going to talk about why Bloom is confident in the upcoming season here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. All right, we got My Little Pony worked out, and we're back here on the Quarantine Podcast. I was getting into it. This week's Cyclone Fanatic Super Patron shout-out goes to a gentleman, Brent, by the name of Brian Rector. He's been an Iowa State fan since his sister, Lindsay Rector, played soccer for the Cyclones in the late 90s.
Okay.
Brian told us that he's rarely lived close to Ames, just all over the place, but he really appreciates our content that keeps him in the loop with Iowa State. So, Brian, thank you very much, sir.
Where's Brian at?
Does not say.
Okay, wherever you are, Brian.
Yeah, it doesn't say, but man, that's one of the things I've learned the more we've been around over the last 10 years is just how many people, alums and fans all over the country, listen to these podcasts and read our work. And I have good news for everybody, too. I'm doing an inventory right now of the new website. Now, it's not new in the sense that it's not going to trick you up. We're using the same platforms and everything, but everything is fresher. And we'll speed up the website, and basically we're upgrading. We're trading in a car and getting a brand new one. So that'll be really cool. I'm hopeful early next week is when that will be ready to go. But it's going to be sharp. I'm fired up about that. But again, without our premium members and our pay, we literally would have had to shut down.
Well, and if there's still time to jump on before Wednesday, because literally Skip
really
is
cool.
The brain trust behind the operations of Iowa State football right now.
Matt Campbell's right hand man.
Like, literally. He sometimes tells Campbell what to do.
I thought last month's with Micah Byers from basketball was super valuable as well. And the thing is about these, it's really cool because the guys feel so comfortable. It really is like a town hall format. 40-50 fans are all on Zoom and can ask the questions, and everybody's kind of got a drink in their hand, and it's neat. Like the format, and even when COVID's over, we're going to keep building on this.
I mean, there are a couple things that have been helpful through this process, and I'd say the virtual calls are going to be a mainstay now for your stuff and really everybody's work.
No doubt about that. It's interesting. Brian Rector said that I had this point that I was going to get to in a little bit. I'll just say it right now. He mentioned his sister played soccer. I'm like locked into the Premier League right now. Like, I'm in.
Welcome aboard.
I'm there, man.
Your team has gone gangbusters since you joined.
It's just been crazy.
Like, the first game, the goalie tears up a knee, and you're like, what have I done? Oh,
I know. And then they lost to that garbage team. Brighton.
Yeah.
Brighton's just a piece of trash. Yep,
they are.
And then now the Arsenal can't lose. They beat Man City. Now we lost the dadgum Spurs last week, but
you're legit. Watch them? Do you watch them 0-90? Like, do you watch the whole thing, or do you just follow the score?
I don't, but you'll love this, being a sports radio geek like you are. I timed out our drive from Kansas City to the Ozarks last Sunday, specifically so I could listen to the Arsenal and Tottenham, the North London Derby, on my way to the Ozarks.
So you found it online somewhere?
Yeah, serious.
I didn't really carry those.
It's actually quite, I was a little concerned that the wife would not be having it.
Yeah.
But she's like, I like the British accents.
I have watched entirely too much soccer in the last 2 months. So no, I am with you.
I'd like to go to a Cyclone women's soccer game if I can.
Yeah, but no. So, but the seriously, the Premier League stuff.
It's amazing.
It's really, it's very intriguing because what they've perfected, one, the games are 90 minutes and there's no commercials.
Yeah.
There's a 10-minute halftime.
Yeah.
So you're done in under 2 hours, which is cool because you don't have to worry about, you know, a baseball game taking 3.5 hours. And then they've got the relegation thing, which is a brilliant way to,
so great.
To make things interesting for your bad teams.
Yeah.
Like you had this game today where there's something called Bournemouth where they fought like hell, even though they're in, you know, second to last because they don't want to be relegated to the lower division. Like it's, if you can get relegation somehow in
God, college American athletics sports, would be amazing.
You would make, you don't have to worry about tanking anymore because they if you get relegated, you're basically going from, I mean,
like where would North Dakota State be if like relegation happened in college football?
They're in the Big Ten.
Yeah, like you know what I mean?
And Rutgers is down
like,
in
I mean, Boise. FCS. Like, what's Boise's program right now? I mean, Iowa State would probably be in the, like the MAC or something based off of all those years.
Sure, and they would, but maybe they would have. I just, it's a fascinating way to watch it.
But then you can work your way back up, and like, it's great.
So I'm on to it. And then for those that occasionally like to put a wager down, there's something very exhilarating about if you have a wager on one of the sides and they get a goal, because it's like
that's a huge deal.
It's a big deal. This is awesome.
I went by the way, just a humble brag. I went 6-0 in matchups in the NASCAR race today. Jeez. Texas.
Who won it?
Very happy for that. Austin Dillon won.
Okay.
Shocking. Richard Childress Racing
goes
1-2.
The three car.
Yeah, like look at me. And he's not very good usually. So that they got something going on. We'll get to some of these other things. I want to pick Bloom's brain on baseball starting this week. That crazy story with the Blue Jays is just phenomenal.
Unless you're them.
I think the NFL's got a growing problem. We'll talk about that. But let's start with college athletics locally here specifically. So, I mean, if you ask around, and I have been – pretty exhaustively working my phone the last 2 weeks. And it, like, I'll say this. It seems like people in the Big 12, to me, are more bullish on there being a season than outside of the Big 12. I'm feeling a little bit with the Iowa State crowd, a little bit like, pissed off, like, because hey, we're doing this right.
Yes,
we're doing this really well. We can totally play a season because we have such a good structure set up right now.
Yep.
And I'm starting to feel like in the AIM circle, they're going to be really pissed if this thing gets canceled because they feel like they are good to go, but pressure from elsewhere would keep them from playing. Yes.
I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it. And so here are the numbers, right? So when Iowa State first started bringing athletes in, I think they had 8 student athletes or student athletes in the staff.
Yeah, 4 on football.
Yeah. But in Jamie's letter this week, they've had 160 tests in the last whatever X number of days. They've only had 3 positives. So let me back up a little bit. This is why the argument in Jamie's letter, which I thought is really good, and it's the same thing we've brought up here on this podcast, is, you know, ultimately, are the players better off under the bubble of their teams or kind of on their own if there's no football, right? If they're just out either in their hometowns or on campus in general. Because right now, Iowa State is still planning, by the way. Important to note. Still planning on a fall semester in person. So even if there's no football, your football players would have to be on campus. Okay, so keep that in mind. But what you've seen now for all these sports that have reopened, Premier League, like we talked about, back in May and June, and then baseball when they restarted, and then you've seen the basketball with their bubble. when you first do the intake of all these players, you get a lot of positive tests. You saw in college football when all these players were coming back on campuses. Like Clemson had a bunch.
I mean, MLS has been
same with similar. MLS. Yep. But as they get in under control, where they can test them either every day or every other day, the test percentages go down. And MLB is a great example. They did all the intake of all their players coming in, and I think the positives were right around 5%. They had like 65 total of players and staff that tested positive. They did test again this week, and there were 5 total. So
yeah, and those weren't even all players.
No,
yeah,
some of them were staff.
Yeah.
And then same with MLS. They had the whole team they had to basically not allow in, but since then they've had, you know, 2 weeks down there, and I think they've had 2 positives. NBA's had very few since they've gotten down there. Point being, are the players and the coaches and those around the program better off if they're under their own bubble or just not having a season out in the community at large? I think it's a fair argument to make. So the fair question then is, well, what are these players doing? Are they going to be in class or not? Because if they're around other students, there's a chance they could pick that up. And I don't know that. But I would imagine Iowa State has some protocols in place based on the control and the ideas from Pollard and Campbell that they may make sure that a lot of the classes are the online version. And Iowa State's going to have a hybrid model this fall. You'll have some in person, some online. If you can make sure that most of your football players are taking primarily online or entirely online, you can then pretty much bubble them off, for lack of a better term. And so I just think there's a way, if you're testing them as often as you are, to keep them pretty isolated still. And so if you can keep them isolated and not allow these, you know, outbreaks to happen, I think you might be better off in the season playing than if you were just kind of be on the campus at large. Or if there's no season, you can't, you know, control that, and they're kind of off on their own. So I think it's something that you really have to factor in here.
I think that if you're going to have students on campus, they should be able to play football.
Yeah.
Would be my argument.
I agree. But
I actually think it's way more dangerous to have 40,000 co-eds walking around, or whatever the number is,
and
now,
not have class. It's 30.
Whatever that number is. I can't keep track. It grows every year.
And it's so.
But you see what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Like, this is my fear, and you know the campus better than I do. Like, you've got a lot of very liberal professors. Is that fair?
I think people get caught up in liberal and conservative lately in higher education, but I see your point.
Older.
Yeah.
Tenured.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Whatever. Okay, take liberal, whatever. Yep. We don't even have to qualify it as that. They're very educated. I'd like to think that they believe greatly in science.
Okay.
I mean, if there's an outbreak on week 2, like, could you have a deal where you have 25, 30, I mean, that'd be a low number, professors almost unionizing together, Brent, saying, like, this is not...
I understand what you're saying.
We can't act like there's not political will on either side here, because that's really all we're talking about right now once you get outside of the actual virus itself. I don't know. I'm trying to think through why this won't work. And great, obviously, I want it to. I read a great piece in The Ringer. Brian Curtis wrote it this week. I mean, my livelihood greatly depends on there being a college football season. Like, I got a mortgage to pay. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, we have people to pay here. So obviously I want this. I'm not rooting against it, but I'm more of a skeptic by nature. I'm looking around.
Yeah. What are the problems?
Where are the loopholes?
There are a lot of landmines.
That would be a concern for me. Yeah. But if you're saying, like, with the hybrid deal, and my wife was telling me that Vet Med is mainly doing online, they're going to be there for their labs and stuff like that, but they're going to be doing most of their lectures and stuff.
I would say that's...
So if that's the case, then couldn't any professor be like, hey, I'm not comfortable doing that, but I gladly lecture from...
That's exactly what's happening.
Okay.
Now, I don't know every single part of campus.
No.
I know the area I'm in. And there are things in place where if faculty members aren't comfortable or they're at a risk, mm-hmm. you know,
of, that's great.
They can be entirely online.
See, and that's what stinks about the elementary school thing is it's just not an option.
It's not
for a first grade teacher to be like, hey, I want to do all my lectures from home.
And see, I think you're right. So I think college, it's still better when you're in person and you get the experiential learning experience, but college students can handle online learning. Okay. It's been done. You can't do that for...
And it's temporary. We're not going to do this forever.
Yeah, we hope not. But you can't do that for, under age 14? I mean, high school, you could probably get away with it, but still not great. Like, you missed that social interaction, so...
Kids still on Snapchat.
At least for colleges, all these colleges are going to be hybrids, where it's still going to be at least 50% online for a lot of it, and they'll split classes up. So let's say... Chris, you have a Tuesday, Thursday at Iowa State. Your Tuesday will be in person. Your Thursday will be online. They'll rotate them, and everything's recorded, right? So they can still get the material. It's just recorded, and you get it online, so you can keep physical distancing and all those things. So.
Well, from what I understand, that's a lot what football is doing too.
Yeah,
they're going to be doing splitting it up like first string practices with third string, second string. Practices with fourths, so that way if there's an outbreak you don't have like all of your quarterbacks wiped out in one. And then I think they're going to utilize like Zoom and stuff like that for position group meetings and all that. So
I just they're really trying here, and I still don't know what the drop, you know, we're not going to have a season date is. So it's you know, we keep saying it, like keep pushing it, but it's
SEC saying August 1.
Okay. And then at what point do you have to replace that game?
So, funny you say that. That was on my list here where I wanted to go. A lot of folks throwing out Northern Iowa. They obviously lost a game this year. They were supposed to play Iowa this year. They were on that rotation. Iowa State lost a game against Iowa because of the Big Ten's mandate. I mean, that was one of the first things I thought of. Why don't you play Northern Iowa? The NCAA did this year, said you can play two FCS teams and it counts for a bowl game. It would make sense. And now I asked around about this, and there's two things that makes me think this won't happen, but I won't say it's impossible. One is the money. Iowa State, even in a best case scenario right now, is going to be strapped financially for the rest of the year because of all this. They're going to look at this and go, why would we pay $400,000 or whatever to get an opponent where they could very likely pay them.
Yeah. You pay them that.
Yeah. Maybe you say, okay, we'll give you $100,000. You're going to get a great discount. That's the only way I think that I could see that this happening.
Yeah.
Because I think like that there's probably going to be some sweetheart deals between these power conference. I think there's a better chance that like maybe like Arkansas or like some SEC team that lost a game would be a good match, and you replace the Iowa game that way, and you do a home and home, and you roll like that. Number two is I've been told that the position of that Cy-Hawk game will be very advantageous for the program. After week one, COVID, we're still trying to figure all this out, to have a take a deep breath week.
Yeah.
So I could see Iowa State trying to maybe schedule that 12th game later on in the year during whenever the bye is.
Sure.
Based off of what I've been told.
That makes sense.
And I still think we're playing in the spring. I know you don't. I still think we're playing. I think that the Big 12 and the SEC are ready to go. I think that like the Missouri Valley and FC, they're ready to go. But I think nationally, like if you look at all the stuff that's going on, I don't think it's going to be up to the Big 12 and the SEC here.
No,
just my.
But it's also not up to them either. I mean, it's not up to them. Whatever I'm trying to say here, because there's nobody that says you can't do it.
You're right, because it's not like there's like a commissioner that Like Adam Silver isn't saying.
No, there's no, you know, Rob Manfred saying this is how it's going to be. There's no Roger Goodell.
Nobody's talking about like the college football playoff. Like we don't even care. What do they think? Just like, just get the games.
Just get the games. No, like I heard this week that TCU, so they had a game scheduled with one of the Pac-12 schools that got booted. And then they had another game with a Prairie View A&M who's a local that and they're not going to play, I guess. So
yeah,
they've
they're
got
just
two open
scrapping
games.
The whole season.
So they're thinking, just talking to somebody down there, they're thinking Alabama will they'll replace that game because Alabama's not playing USC in Jerry's world. So they think that TCU may step in there. And then also A&M's got an open game.
Oh, what a gift for TCU.
So TCU may get, but these are the matchmakings that are happening.
That's what I'm saying. Like I could see Iowa State like, oh, we'll play Ole Miss more than I can seeing them play. Yep.
I would not be shocked. You and I would not, and I don't know who it would be, but you're going to see matchmaking like that of, okay, you've got an opening, we've got an opening, it looks good for TV, and Big 12 and SEC have a good relationship.
In bed together.
So let's see what happens. It could be,
and I think
you may
too,
have an interesting game.
I think, too, that there's a little bit of, I think the Big 12 and the SEC are kind of like, okay, maybe the ACC to a point. We're like, okay, there's too much to lose. We all still have to work together here. But what the hell regarding the Big Ten? From what I understand, that everybody kind of thought that's where all this was going.
Yeah, but not that early.
I was shocked. I called it on the radio show. I was like, dude, there's no way that these other conferences didn't know that this was coming. From what I'm hearing, they had no clue that the Big Ten was going to do that day.
Yep.
So there's part of me that agrees with you in the sense that I could kind of see them flipping everybody the bird and going at it alone.
Well,
and wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. Yeah. That would
opening
that
week
would
of
be...
college football and the only games you have are Big 12 and SEC games.
Yeah. You got 10 days? You got 2 weeks.
So a couple
you
other
got
things.
2 weeks to figure this out.
South Dakota's athletic director. That's Iowa State's season opener.
Yep.
He sent out a letter to his fan base. They're good to go. They're going at it. I think another thing, there are two other things to point out. One of them I think is substantial, and it's Kim Reynolds. And again, like I'm not making a put. I don't care what your political beliefs. You can fly a Donald Trump flag or you can be a Joe Biden-aholic. I don't care. The fact that Kim Reynolds is a Republican and Donald Trump, the president, acts the way that he has towards this virus. I don't think the state of Iowa is going to tell Iowa State and Iowa, you can't play football.
Correct.
I don't think that'll happen. That might happen in California.
Correct.
It won't happen here.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're talking about football here. I don't think we have to look over our shoulders and be like, oh, is politics in this state going to keep it from happening? I think that's coast is clear for Iowa.
So what's the one thing stopping it then potentially?
I think that the one thing stopping everything would be personally, Brent, I think it's if you're alone. Like I don't think you totally want to be isolated because there's so much money in the college football playoff.
Right.
If the Big Ten and the ACC and the Pac-12 are like, hey, we're going to do it in the spring, I don't know if it would be beneficial to completely shed your Power Five brethren. To me, that would be why you push it back.
Okay. You see,
what do
I
you
agree.
Think?
It's the conference.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's
I don't
nobody...
think the conference, if it's just the Big 12, they're playing.
Yeah. But you're right. You can't be those two lone rangers when the other three are in the spring.
Because it might be a short-term benefit because of the revenue and all that stuff that Pollard referenced.
Which...
But long term, I mean, the playoff money and all that stuff. Like
But again, there's no guarantee the spring's any better.
No.
And so you may just.
And what about the NFL draft? You know, I don't think that's a reason not to play. But
no, I think there are so many more issues with the spring than the fall, and no guarantee that COVID's going to be a thing of the past by then, or even that much markedly better. So, I don't know. I just. If the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to go conference only, that's fine. But I agree with you. At some point, the college football playoff has to step in and say, hey, everybody, this is what we're going to take to have qualifiers here. I mean, if this is still the end goal, if we could just play just to play, which, just to have a conference champion, which whatever. But
like, think of how much money comes via that playoff every year to the conferences. So, correct. Like, I just don't think they can ignore that.
That's the one authority that hasn't spoken up yet that I would be. But again, they're all governed by the conferences, the playoffs.
Give BYU a call. Come to Ames.
But from being on campus this week for a little bit, Iowa State is still going full steam ahead on a season this year.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I mean,
they are literally preparing as if they're opening camp here in a couple weeks.
I would agree based off of the people I've talked to. I've not been up there.
So if they had, long story short, they don't know anything that it's changing.
I'll say this, and I think this gets really complicated. And my opinion is, I hope that every high school football player and volleyball player and cross country runner in the state gets to do what they want to do this fall. The Iowa High School Athletic Association announced this week that practices are going to start as normal. Sounds like the girls' union is going to follow. Boy, I'm skeptical. I hope that it works, but unless, Brent, and we've talked about this for weeks, unless these CDC guidelines get lifted and stuff, I mean, this baseball and softball deal has just been teetering for a while now. You got teams that are dropping like flies. I'm really skeptical. Again, I want the young people to be able to do it, but it's different than what we're talking about with a Big 12 football program.
Completely, yeah.
I don't even think, our old stomping grounds, like Northwest Missouri State football, like D2, they don't have the money to be running through tests and stuff like that, right?
No, they don't. And if you're quarantining entire teams for 2 weeks, it won't work.
No.
It just won't, at any level. So, we'll see. But again, it goes back to your point. If schools are open and it's a district decision, then...
They're being mandated to be there now.
District decision, right?
Yeah.
So now why can't you have sports then?
We can be breathing on each other during shop class, but I can't.
Yeah, so I get it.
I do too. I'm not being critical. I'm very skeptical.
And ultimately,
But how does that work though? So like, if a kid in your science class gets COVID, does the whole science class have to be out for 2 weeks? Because that's how it is with sports.
That's what I think. All these districts need info on. Like, do you shut the entire school down? Do you shut a class down?
Tonight's drink, Jim Beam, Double Oak, twice barreled.
I wouldn't want to be an educator right now because it would be a mess.
Hey, the good thing is, I told you I'm about 70%, but I feel good enough to drink a whiskey with you.
Yeah, say you're having a whiskey. This is
while progress. We recorded. This is the first whiskey I've had since been a while.
How's it going?
Tastes good.
Tastes good. Oh, that's good.
I didn't want to do anything too expensive though, because it's like I didn't know quite how I'd enjoy it. I did have a few beers. I down at the lake. Man, the White Claw. I tell you what, Bloom.
You like it?
Do I?
So
it's good. It's refreshing.
The Truly is maybe better than White Claw.
Really? Why is it different?
It just seems to have a little more flavor to me.
Oh, it's sweeter.
Look at us talking about White Claws and Truly.
We
have really jumped the shark.
Right before we started recording tonight, my neighbor Hutch, he got my mail when I was gone, and I bought him a bottle of moonshine down there.
What a guy.
Ran it over to him, and he returned the favor by handing me a can of the Busch Light Apple. Oh man, it's a damn good thing that didn't exist when I was in college.
Have a few of those.
Watching
the Arsenal.
Holy crap, that is yummy.
It was good. Yeah, you gave me a sample.
Oh, I feel like I could.
Angry Orchard or Busch Light.
That's the thing, though. It's not like Angry Orchard because, like, one of those, and I feel like I'm gonna have a headache for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So sugary.
But anyway,
it was good. Good job, Busch Light.
Baseball starts this week here as we wrap up the quarantine podcast.
So you're saying spring. That's your vote right now?
I still think so. Okay. I think that you're going to get a lot of people around Iowa State specifically are pissed because I think that they've got a setup right here.
Well, it has worked for the last month and a half.
I think that they're locked down and they're doing – I'm pissed selfishly, because I think that I've said this for months now, I think this will be the best Iowa State team of my tenure.
Yeah.
Following the program.
Yep. I got that impression too. I was up around this weekend. They're really excited about some of those younger players, but hey, maybe it'll still happen. I still think it'll happen, Chris.
I'm gonna remain skeptical and hope that just expect the worst and hope for the best.
There you go.
That's where I'm at. You're a bigger baseball fan than I am. I do like Major League Baseball. Starts this week. I like the 60-game season, Bloom. That interests me a lot.
Does it, though? Yeah, I'm kind of bothered by it.
Okay, well, you're a purist much more than me. Like, where 1 to 10, where is your interest level of Major League Baseball?
Oh, interest is still at 8.
Okay.
Compared to
opening day, like a normal opening day in April, more or less?
It's so tricky. More because it's something else I can that's on.
It's not. And it's not the Arsenal or NASCAR.
Yeah.
or the World of Outlaws.
PGA Tour without fans. Yeah. Or the World of Outlaws. It's there, but it's just it's so. I watched a couple Interscott games
for WWE in an empty practice arena. So,
yeah. I mean, I've watched a lot of UFC, and it's like, man, until that girl broke her leg last night, I was like, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Don't gross. Show me that.
I see that.
Soft.
That's disgusting.
No, but from that, I'm like, yeah, it's okay. Something else to have on. It's just the 60 games. It's like, I don't know. It's
Asterisk
weird.
City, man.
Yeah, which is fine. If we're all on the same.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, no one's going to claim that this team is the 27 Yankees or anything.
My thing
is. That is so not a season.
Well, what's crazy to me, one of the things that I love about baseball, I mean, the thing I probably love most are the stats. Like, baseball is the ultimate, like, stat geek game. And, like, I was going through it, like, what is, like, a great year for a hitter? You know what I mean? Like, normally it's like, man, if you hit 50 home runs, like, you're mashing it. Like, what do you have to do to have, you just prorate everything? Like, like the Cy Young Award winner, what, we have, like, 5 wins?
5 wins. It's a great year.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy to me to think about it
the
like that.
The multiplier's 2.7.
Like, what's great for saves? Like, I mean,
so divide things by 2.7. I mean, that's the multiplier here.
Man. What about the Blue Jays? Is this not, I was writing about this on my Facebook page earlier today. Like, this is the craziest story ever.
It's pretty wild.
The effing season starts in 5 days or whatever.
And they don't play at home.
They don't know where their home stadium is. It's like, what, are we going to be in Buffalo? We're going to be in Florida? I was reading, like, this Canadian newspaper, like, at Toronto. Like,
they don't want to be in either.
No, they want to be, like, in a major league park. Well, there's only a few of those, and there's not a lot of cities that are going to be like, hey, go ahead, and we want to be responsible for you guys to all not get, like, that's a big ask.
Once they've been staying in that hotel at their ballpark in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, that's where they've been quarantining their team. That
what
is
a story.
Wild. And because there's internet. But so here's the thing. It's like, I'm sure part of them are pissed at Canada saying, what the heck? Like, but the other part, you can't alienate your government or your fans.
Yeah.
It's not them that
and
they
what a slap in the face to America
it
right
is.
Now.
Oh, completely. I mean, that's the other part of it.
It's like, you guys are such a train wreck right now.
You can't figure your stuff out. And so we're not allowing you to come play baseball against our baseball team. I mean, there's parts of it too. I mean, where do you? So they go across the border to Buffalo, but I guess Buffalo doesn't have facilities that are major league ready.
Bring them to Des Moines.
I don't know. I mean, I feel bad because they're just fun little team, but you can't just say, "Hey, Toronto, you can't play this year." So
I think
they'll end up
cool.
somewhere. It's wild.
I think it'd be cool if they legit went to like a double A park, like just play. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My guess is they'll end up in. Well, Buffalo, and then figure it out. Because here's the other thing.
Are they the Buffalo Blue Jays?
The schedule is already...
Are they Toronto? What's their team? Like, I mean, Toronto doesn't want you.
You know, but they, I don't know if you read their...
Your government has exiled you.
Their statement was so hilarious. Toronto was like, we respect the authorities here, but what can we do? I don't know.
What a story.
That's... And it's... You're right. The season starts in 5 days.
And they don't know... where their freaking home stadium is.
What do you like? How do you pack? What do you do with your stuff?
It's a great question.
What do you do with your family? Like, does your family?
That's what I was saying. Like,
temporary housing. Somewhere?
That's like a total game changer, though. Like when these guys, because remember 3 weeks ago, these guys, or a month ago, they're all just bitching about pay and all that stuff. And like, I would have. This is kind of information I would have wanted to know before I signed off on this deal.
Right. Bet against Toronto.
Yeah, they're just going to throw the season. Speaking of that. My God, did you read the NFL's Twitter today?
Yeah, I caught some. So I've consciously tried to stay off Twitter in the last couple weeks, but I saw some of that.
It appears that a handful of the league's heavy hitters are binding together to put pressure on the NFL about the player safety and health for the upcoming season, which is fine. I'm not criticizing them for it. That you've got some pretty harsh language toward the National Football League here from Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, J.J. Watt, Steph Diggs. And they're using a hashtag that says hashtag we want to play. But I'm getting the sense that the leadership in the NFL player community doesn't believe that the NFL is taking their safety seriously going back to football. This has disaster written all over it.
Maybe I'm overly cynical here, but it being July 19th and they waited this long to raise these concerns, I know it's probably, we haven't gotten our answers
yet. This is for money.
Yeah. It's for a money. There's a money component. I mean, yeah, sure. They want to be safe. Everybody does. But there's either a money component here, there's a we don't want to play a preseason game component and still get paid. Like there's something financially.
The preseason game's very real. That's a very real.
You don't coordinate like this all at the same time if you're just worried about, you know, team safety here. I mean, of course it is. Maybe I'm being cynical.
Even when the NFL
why now? Why wait until July 19th?
No, I'll be cynical with you because like 2 weeks ago when the NFL released like its like face mask policy and like the locker rooms and like there were players mocking the NFL being like, we're never going to do this.
Right.
Now, it wasn't Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, but still.
And good for those guys to be carried the banner for the players. I mean, ultimately, that's the way they have to advance their cause forward.
Kind of figured Drew Brees would keep his mouth shut for the rest of the offseason.
Shift the attention. But you saw this with the NBA too. Like, I think for these guys in these leagues, baseball had the same thing, although theirs is a far worse situation right now because they're still, it's basically a league mandated season at this point. And there's no guarantee we'll have them beyond next year. But I think they owe it to themselves to put up a bit of a fight to try and show that, hey, we're not just going to be.
We're not your stooges.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we've got a voice, and the NBA did the same thing and then Adam Silver was able to have a conversation. I don't know what the concessions were, but everybody got on the same page. Something similar will happen here as well, but it's a way for them to have safe face after the fact and say, hey, we did speak up and try and say something to help.
I don't know. There's two things that have really, I thought a lot over the last week. I read a ton. Like I didn't unplug like I should have. One is the amount of people, and this is basically like NASCAR related, who have like, they say they're not watching and stuff because of the Confederate flag thing anymore. And it's just like, and I see this with guys talking about the NFL because of the kneeling thing all the time. And I'm just like, do you guys really like, you're just going to completely stop watching something that gives you joy for the last like 30 years of your life? Like, What point are you, dude, here in Bondurant, like, or if you live in, care where you live, like, you're really just going to quit something that you love because a guy can't fly a Confederate flag from his pit stall now?
Sure. And I see that. I also, I think there is something too, though, and tell me if I'm crazy, where because we've been enough removed from sports, there are some, not you and me.
I know where you're going here.
Who realize, you know what? Maybe I just want to go outside.
Maybe I just want to go and watch birds.
Yeah, I think I've talked to a couple of people. Like I don't, you know, I didn't miss sports as much as I did. It was just something I did because it was on. But now I realize, oh, I like this and I like that, and I'd be okay without it. So, yeah, I mean, I would still say the majority of football fans will still come back. But I think there is some aspect of it that it does turn people off and say, you know what, maybe on Sundays I'll just go ride my bike.
The other thing to me, and this is, I just critiqued fans. Now critiquing the athletes and the owners is just the short-term thinking that I think a lot of these organizations and players are going through right now. Just thinking about getting mine now and not thinking about the long-term effects.
Agreed.
Because I'll watch baseball. You're a bigger baseball fan than me. I'm occupied right now. I've watched, I really have, and I've enjoyed it.
Good example, though. Yeah.
I watched more like dirt racing and stuff this year because of all the streaming. And that world, by the way, has exploded. You're seeing the World of Outlaws getting TV deals. Like it has exploded because of this pandemic, and they were the only show in town. I've really enjoyed that. And I mean, I'll watch baseball, but I am not like
it out.
Normally, before opening day, I'm buying like two or three Braves hats and shirts, and I'm fired up. I'm not doing that now, and I'm really, I'm being that fan that I was just talking about.
Well, and they haven't helped themselves with this blackout situation either.
No,
which is just, it drives me nuts here. And now, so I'm a YouTube TV subscriber, and they just dropped all the Fox Sportses, so I can't watch the Cardinals now. You know me, I will find a way to watch the Cardinals, but it's still, it's like in Iowa.
It shouldn't be that hard.
You can't, it's St. Louis, it's Chicago, it's the Twins, it's the Brewers, the White's other Chicago.
I just hate it when the Braves play at Milwaukee.
I mean, there's like six teams you can't watch in Iowa, and they don't make it readily available, and it's like, you really have to struggle to watch your local team sometimes too, which is, I think, a problem where, again, back to your point, you're looking short term for the money now, and it's from the regional television partners. Like, it's not a whole lot baseball can do, but it's still, it's not great for the long term of the sport either. And credit to those. I thought NASCAR's been great.
The product's been really good.
World of Outlaws with you, to be the first, and I think they've taken advantage of it. And there's something absolutely to that.
I've never been a bigger fan of motorsports than right now.
Where would baseball be if they started June 1? You know,
I think that baseball would be back at a point where, like, dare I say, the Maguire Sosa, where everybody's eyes were on it, and
there was a 6-week stretch where it was NASCAR,
especially when the sports world,
the Bundesliga,
we really needed it during the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, like. All of that debate, and not debate, I mean, it was news, right? Mm-hmm. But like, where guys like you and me, do you remember that night where we were like, we just wanted an escape from something, and there was the damn World of Outlaws race in Jackson, Minnesota, and we watched it in my backyard, and we're like side betting with each other about this just so we could get away from COVID.
Yeah, just and, the news.
Yeah, yeah, and that whole deal where it could have been Cardinals game or a Braves game or anything.
I think it'll be interesting for baseball. The 60-game sprint is fascinating, but you're gonna be up against the NBA, which starts next week, and then
NFL's
going. I there's no way that's delayed, right? Like, I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, I think the NFL, out of all these,
they're bulletproof.
They seem to be like, whatever, we're going. Yeah, bulletproof's the right term.
The only thing I think that it would get in the way would be like what happened with baseball. Right.
As far as like the player,
if there's a salary
unrest. Yeah.
Like a labor type thing.
That's why I think this is more of a,
that's a good point. I hadn't thought about it like that. But that's a really good point. I mean, Breeze has always kind of been a waving the flag for the players. Wilson's deal, it's about his wife being pregnant, so it's hard to it's hard to criticize that.
And there's we are learning reasons.
We're learning more about this virus and pregnant women. That I have a sister-in-law who's pregnant, so I learned a little bit about that, but I don't know. I'll leave it at this. Two things real quick. One, remember when you look around that nobody's ever been through this before, unless you're around in 1918.
Yeah. Yeah.
cut your neighbors and coworkers and spouses and everybody some slack. And two, and perhaps the biggest thing, I was just down in a different area of the country, still the Midwest, but the Lake of the Ozarks is called the Redneck Riviera for a reason. Mm-hmm. And my mom and dad and sister and her family are from one of the most rural counties in Iowa. And they were floored, Brent, to see me and my wife like wearing face like masks, right? And we were floored that they weren't.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing this up is they're still my family and I still love them. And we all have the same interests, and that's getting back to normal and saving lives and doing all that stuff. But it was glaring to me how two different sides are working against one another right here. And I just, like you asked me, why do you think it's going to be the spring? Because I don't think our country can get on the same page. I don't think it's possible in the year 2020.
Yeah, and I'm not even factoring that in the fall season. I am full well realizing that this season isn't going to happen because the numbers are going to go down.
Yeah.
It's happening because people want it to happen.
We went to the first day we were there.
We're way past that by now.
First day we were there, we're boating.
I was going to ask you, what is the...
Nobody. It's...
Even in the restaurants.
Oh, yeah. So listen to this. The first day we were there, we show up and we're going to go to this restaurant that we really like. It's on the lake. It's outdoor seating and everything. I don't even have indoors. And we're fully suspecting that the tables are spaced out. And I wanted to support the restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to not go.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. We get there and it's just jam packed for one. But two, none of the staff has a mask on.
Really?
We actually saw a waiter sneeze right when we walked in. My wife turns around and looks at me. I'm like, hey, I go, I've already had it. Yes, no,
you're on your own.
And I'm not even being critical of this place. My point is
different
worlds. Yeah. And I don't think that we can get this country all going in the same direction. I hope
no.
Good no, God! It's, did you look at your Facebook feed after the Kim Reynolds press conference? Or we're offering Cyclone Fanatic masks right now, and you'd think we would have posted a political endorsement on the.
Our buddy John Walters had a tweet where I would say it's pushing the wear a mask thing.
Yeah,
which,
because they want the season to happen,
and he. He's posted something, wear a mask, be kind or something. And he just, comments at him and just I get it. I mean, I understand that part of it but I don't. I don't know. But point being, I don't think the football season is reliant on cases dropping below a certain threshold.
No, I don't either.
So it's more of...
I don't think anything dropping, but I think if it can keep rising at a certain rate, really...
If it puts the, if there are outbreaks on teams during the season, that'll do it, in my opinion. I think we've got a little bit to get there. Or, Chris, if it gets so out of control nationally, maybe some would argue it's out of control now. I don't know.
We're not epidemiologists.
Maybe we'll preemptively move it to spring, but I don't think they will. I think they're gonna hold out.
We are really smart.
They're going to hold out as long as they can here. So, to be determined.
Next Sunday's podcast will be an interesting one. I thought last week would be a week where a lot happened and not much did, thankfully, because I was gone. But I was fully prepared to be working a lot down there, and not a lot happened. So, I'm kind of bracing myself for... I actually don't think it'll be this week. I think next week. I think that week of the...
One.
27th through the 31st, I think, is when all hell breaks loose, one way or another.
So, but media days got moved back, right?
Yeah, and it makes sense. There's no reason to have media days tomorrow. I mean, we're just going to be asking Brock Purdy, like these kids that don't have any business. They're not, they're football players. And nobody's going to be asking about it. They push it back until you know something.
By the way, Jack Trice Stadium, it's going to look pretty cool this fall.
Oh, because of the new work?
That facility is a monster. If anybody's near Des Moines, Ames, drive by there. It is huge.
Okay.
And so they've done a lot of work on the hills now. So, I mean, that part, it's going to look really cool. It's just, it's again, we'll see if it actually happens.
We shall see. His name is Brent Bloom.
That was fun. Thank you.
Thank you. I needed the drink after the week with the kids. Holy crap.
Quickly, best advice for those without the pleasure of having kids yet or, you know, single folks.
Don't have them?
No.
Oh.
It's travel as much as you can, right? Travel as much as you can without.
Before you have them.
Yes. It just changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, go out and do things.
I love my daughters. I didn't mean that about
No, I know, but go out. But seriously, go out and do things because when you do have kids, it's not the same travel experience.
Duh. Or you could be like me tonight to my wife and be like, I'm never going on vacation with the kids again.
Well, until they're
15. Give me a week. I love them. I just need to cool off.
I think people are with you here.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Really appreciate all your support. And we'll be back next week.